For those of you who haven't been in our church over the summer, one of the things that we're doing is instead of having just one longer sermon, we're having several people share shorter encouragements to follow along with that. So I'm one of those for today. What I've been looking at in my talks over the summer is looking at the book of Acts and what the disciples did, what these people who are following Jesus did after Jesus left. Because Jesus said, go into the world, make disciples. So what are the disciples then doing? And if we want to be people who are followers of Jesus, what will we do as we go around with that? So the question, this kind of overarching question I've had is, are you the kind of disciple that you would like to see replicated in others? Because that's our mission. Our mission is to be people who follow Jesus and then go make followers of Jesus. We're his disciples, and then we go make disciples. We're supposed to replicate ourselves, and you don't make someone look exactly like you do, but those same values, that same mission, that same love that we saw in Jesus, we're supposed to pass along.
So some of the things that we've looked at in the book of Acts is that disciples make disciples. Disciples make habits, the kind of habits such as praying together and generosity, and that disciples make the most of opportunities. It's not just having habits that you go through, but you keep your eyes open, you keep your heart open, that as God brings things your way, as the Holy Spirit shows you something, that then you make the most of that opportunity. And today, what we're looking at is disciples make unassuming sacrifices. Unassuming, we have a definition of that so you can see what unassuming is. It's not having or showing a desire to be noticed or praised. There's a very big difference between someone who does their good deeds to be seen by man and someone who does it because out of the love of Christ they're serving, but they're not in it to get credit. They're not in it to get glory. And we as disciples are supposed to be the kind of people that aren't here to get glory for ourselves. Our glory is reserved for God, and we're working to bring him the most glory. So in the book of Acts, two places where we see someone who was unassuming and then someone who was assuming. In Acts chapter 4, we're told that the group of believers, that they're in one heart and mind, and that none of them really acted like their belongings were their own, but they're sharing with one another. And as they're sharing, there's also this great power that the apostles have to be witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus, that God is pouring blessings on them all. So they're all taking care of each other, and God is giving power to his apostles, and he's making sure that everyone is taken care of. And those who owned fields, or some of the people that had houses or things like that, they would sell it and then bring the money so that to the apostles so it could be distributed to others. It's this mindset of we're making sacrifices for people, and most of them we don't even know their name. We're just told the group of believers. It's not that they were trying to make the list, so I wanted to be on this list of people who gave 1,000 or more, who gave 10,000 or more, and who wins the prize at the end for giving the most money. Instead, they're just there wanting to make sure that the needs of the people are met. The one name that we do have of someone in that, his name was Barnabas, or they called him Barnabas, because he brought his money, sold a field, and brought it and turned it over to the apostles. And we're told his name because he'll show up later in the book of Acts. But the name that they gave to him, Barnabas, was just one who encourages. And we're going to talk a little bit more about encouraging later today. But I find it interesting that the one person's name that they mention isn't the one who gets all the credit. It's the one who encourages others. So his name is there not as a way for us to look at him, but even still, his name is there so that we can be encouraged for us to go out and be the same type of people, those that make unassuming sacrifices for others. We're not there to get the credit. We're not there to get the praise of it, but we're there to serve because that's who Jesus was and how Jesus acted. One of the people that shows me this again and again is the pastor that we work with there. Pastor Ken is a guy who's a Kenyan man that he makes sacrifices for others. He started a church sort of by accident. Someone else was supposed to be preaching at a revival meeting to start this, and he was just supposed to be the worship leader. And he showed up and they said, well, we don't have a pastor here, so how about you speak? And out of that starts this church. And then from there, they've started to plant more churches. And what I love about it is that I've been to now 8, 9, 10 of their church plants off of it. And each one of them is in a poorer area than the mother church. It's not, oh, how can we find places to plant a church where there'll be a lot of money? That way we can get credit. He's not the kind of person that has his name on a billboard. He's just a man who's there to serve. And so he goes to a garbage dump every month and has made relationship with these people, not because he's going to get any credit for it whatsoever, but because he's there to show the love and grace of Jesus Christ, to do what he as a disciple has been called to do. And so during the time, one of the things that I'm so grateful we've got to partner with as a church is helping put kids in school. Many of you know that each month we take an offering so that we can put kids into school. And so they've started now a school at the garbage dump site, as well as sending some of the other kids off to boarding school and other things. The school that they've started at a dump site is mostly a nursery school, but just so kids can start learning things like their ABCs and counting. And there are two teachers that are working there, and the typical salary for a teacher in Kenya would, if they're doing well, maybe be about 100 euros a month. So far, they just haven't had the money to pay for them to have that. So they're getting something like 30 euros a month. And it was only because I was asking about it to find out. Most of their salary is coming from Pastor Ken scrounging together whatever he can and taking from his own savings so that these kids can have teachers for their school. He's a man who makes sacrifices and doesn't show up at the dump site and say, look at all that I've done. He's just a man who says, oh, you're coming to Kenya. Here, let me bring you along so you can be a blessing to these people as well. He's an example of a man who makes unassuming sacrifices. But there is the danger for us to then start letting it get to our head or to try to give so that we can get attention for it. And that's something that we see happen in the book of Acts. Right after the story of Barnabas and these others who are giving so much of what they own, we're told a story that should make us show caution. In Acts chapter 5, we're told there's a man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira, and they sold some property that belonged to them. And then Ananias, with his wife's agreement, he keeps back part of the money but turns the rest over to the apostles. So far, this doesn't sound necessarily like a bad thing to do. You can choose, okay, I sold a field, I'll give some of that money. But what seems to be the problem is that they lie about how much they're giving. Later we see, especially with Sapphira, where he's asked, was this the full amount that you gave? And instead of them just being honest and saying, hey, we gave you half the money or whatever it was, they're trying to say, oh, we sold our field and we gave everything for you. And are trying to get some credit out of it. God doesn't like that. When we say that we're giving everything, but we're not really, maybe honestly, that should make us concerned about what we sing in some of our worship songs. So Peter, being one of the apostles that brought the money there, and first it's just Ananias by himself, and Peter says to Ananias, why did you let Satan take control of you and make you lie to the Holy Spirit about keeping part of the money? How he knew, it seems like the Holy Spirit let him know. Maybe he knew some other way, but Peter knows this is a fake. And Peter tells him, before you sold the property, it was yours. You could do what you wanted with it. After you sold it, the money was still yours. So why did you lie? You've lied to God. The problem wasn't necessarily how he uses money. The problem is his heart of what he was trying to get out of it. And of how he was trying to maybe get extra credit from it, extra rewards, or that the people would look at him in a certain way. As soon as Ananias heard Peter say this, he falls down dead. We don't see that happen a lot today where people die for lying, but, if we did, I think we all would be terrified and there'd be a whole lot more of us on the ground than standing up walking around. But that doesn't mean that God can't do it still. So be very careful with your mouth. And so the people are terrified about this, but then they go out and give him a proper burial, which I appreciate that at least. They don't go, wow, God must hate you. I'm going to not treat you well. But they do give him a proper burial. But then later, the wife comes, Sapphira, and Peter wants to give her a chance. And so he says to her, so tell me, was this the full amount that you and your husband received from the property? And she, who knew full well, said, yep, that's the full amount. And Peter said, why did you join with your husband and do this? I strongly believe in being faithful in your marriage and being faithful in what you say about your husband and wife. I'm not asking you all to go around calling your husband or wife liars. But here's one thing. Don't follow your spouse into lying to God. Not a good idea. That doesn't mean that you have to run around yelling, liar, liar. Although if that would save their life ahead of time, maybe you should do that. But do it in your own home, not maybe in public. Speak well of your spouse in public, but don't fall them into a lie like what happened here. And Sapphira had the same fate that her husband had. But one of the sad instances from our time in Kenya was this. I had an example of a great man who made unassuming sacrifices in Pastor Ken, but one of the things that we did through this church was we had bought a motorcycle 2 years ago so that they could use that as a motorcycle taxi. The idea would be someone could use the taxi, make money for themselves, but also give some of that money towards the church, so it's taking care of a family as well as helping the church continue to grow. And we had a man who said he would do it. We put him through school so he could know how to drive a motorcycle appropriately and had done that for a while. But then when we got there this time, I didn't see him. So I asked Pastor Ken, so where is he? How's he doing? I miss him. And I heard the unfortunate story of, well, he stopped bringing the money that was supposed to be set aside for the church after a while. And then I just stopped seeing him altogether. And I was told by somebody recently that they saw him in Mombasa, which is all the way across the country. He thankfully left the motorcycle with the church, so he didn't take that with him. But it was the story of a guy who, instead of being one who's sacrificing for others, starts saying, oh, there's money, and maybe I can live a different life now that I have this, and then isn't faithful with what he has. Thankfully, that has not been the major story that's gone over and over in our time there. But even in the best of places, you can find that is still at work. And I believe even in Damascus Road, there's that strong possibility, no matter how good of a church you are, if you're not careful, the love of money can grab your attention, or just whatever reason we would have to lie, which I can come up with a lot of them, looking out for ourselves instead of looking out for others. So, in short, to say this, be the kind of person that makes unassuming sacrifices. If you're going to make a sacrifice and not do it for the right reasons, I would almost rather say, don't do it. But if you're motivated from the love of God, then give and give and give again, because that is the character of God. And it's beautiful when we get to see it, and it encourages others as well. We grow from it, and the others grow from it. And may we see that more and more in our church, that we are continuing to become even a more generous church, one to another. Amen?